Good morning. If you think about, when you're thinking about this week in your prayers, think about Rick and Jen, because as they prayerfully take on, think about this decision, Satan's going to want to do everything he can to stop it. So just keep them lifted up in your prayer. So this might be a surprise to some of you guys, but it might not be a surprise to a lot of you. I was never considered to be a smart kid, a smart student. Me in school did not get along. I'll be honest with you. I was a below average student in school. If I got a B in a class, that was a good grade for me. And most of the time that was in gym. And math. I could do math. I got to admit, I could do math. But most of my grades, to be honest with you, were C's and D's. My reading level was way below average, and it still is today, I'll be honest with you. My first day of speech class was in kindergarten, and my last day of speech class was in my senior year at 12th grade. I had a very, very tough time pronouncing many, many words. I still have trouble pronouncing words today. I still get tongue-tied. And my brother and sister, who were straight-A students, both of those two were straight-A students, always considered me as the dumb one, the dumb child. And even, I'll be honest with you, even my father sometimes would call me dumb and treat me like I was the dumb kid in the family. They thought that my best position working out in the working world would be a garbage collector, a garbage man. That's actually kind of was the joke as I was growing up. That's the job that I would have. They didn't have very high hopes for my career. And the word Steve and college was never, ever in the same sentence. Never. My whole childhood, I was made to believe that I would not accomplish anything. And yet the sad part about it is I believed them. And when I, like I've said many times before, my first job was at Star Market. And when I started that first job, I'll be honest with you, I did not do good. I did not start well. I made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mess up. And things weren't going good for me when I first started at Star Market. And then I started to catch on a little bit, and I realized that stocking shelves and working in the back warehouse was a lot different than going to school. It was a lot different than going to school. And I started to do that job well, and I started to do it very good. And my store manager's name was Sam Gillio, and in the beginning, he had very little hopes for me. He didn't think I was going to make it. And after a few years of working there, before I finally had to quit and move on to with my life, Sam Gillier told me that I was one of his best workers he's ever had. And then I started my electrical career, and the same thing happened. I was pretty bad in the beginning. I made a lot of mistakes. Being small in construction didn't help, and I messed up a lot. I had very little confidence, And then as my confidence started to grow, I like to think that I actually turned into a pretty good electrician. Now, I say all this stuff about my childhood, not to make you feel sorry for me or anything to think less of me. It's to tell you this next thing here. See, I grew up with very low self-esteem. I grew up with very low confidence. But then, starting getting in the workforce, starting to be an electrician, and starting to realize that I could do things with my hands, and God gave me some pretty good common sense up there. And I realized I could start accomplishing some cool stuff. And I could start doing some really cool stuff. And I went from a very low self-esteem man to a very prideful man. A person who thought that I could do anything. A person who was so prideful that I thought I knew everything. And then I got saved. And I see that the Bible talked a lot about pride, and it talks about it a lot. And in the beginning of my walk with Christ, I used to wake up every morning and I used to pray to God before I got out of bed. And I remember I used to pray things, and this is the beginning of my walk with God. I pray things like, God, help me get through today. Help me do all the chores and the duties I got to do today. And I never would actually say this out loud, but I would think this, and I would say to myself, God, help me. Help me do the things I need to do today. But if somebody needs you more than I do, go ahead, work with them, because I got this thing covered. I got it covered. Don't worry about it. I mean, I would never say anything like that. I would never admit to that. But that was my attitude. That's okay, God. Go help somebody else because I got this covered. Don't worry about me. I got it covered, God. I would like to think that I'm a little bit more humble now than I was when I first got saved. But pride is something that I really have to struggle with, something that I have to deal with. It likes to raise up its ugly head in my life. So something that I have to pray about and realize that I'm being prideful. So when I go into situations, I go into different situations, pride can jump up at me. But I'll be honest with you, when I go to a new territory, a new something that I've never done before, I go to a new place, a new situation, that low self-esteem still creeps in. That low confidence still takes over. See, I can be a very, very prideful person, or I can be somebody who just wants to run and hide because I don't think I can handle it. Today we're going to look at this passage where this person, he could have been very, very prideful, but yet he stayed humble. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you and we need you, Lord, and we know that you are the only reason we can do anything, Lord. As we look at this passage and we look at the different characters in this passage, Lord, we thank you that your love shined through. We thank you that you are the most important part of this passage and every passage, Lord. And we thank you that you show us the different faults and the different good things that we have because of you, Lord. So we thank you so much for your love, and we thank you. And we just pray right now you just fill me with your Holy Spirit to do your work, Lord. And we pray for the people here that they would be filled also to receive the message that you'd want them to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're still in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 18, and last week Bill preached on the first half of 18, and today we're going to be preaching on the second half, and we'll finish up in chapter 18 today. So if you would, please turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 18, and we're going to be starting in verse 18. This is actually the start of Paul's third missionary journey, and verses 18 through 23 gives us a quick description of where Paul went and some of the people he's met on this journey. So we're just going to read these verses here. So I'm going to start with verse 18 of chapter 18. Paul stayed in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed to Syria. Accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila, before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Caesarea, because of the vows he had taken to ride in Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But then he left. He promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail for Ephesus. When he landed in Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church. As he went down to Antioch, and spending time there in Antioch, Paul sent from there and traveled from place to place to the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. So Paul just spent a year and a half in Corinth. As we've seen last week's passage, Paul spent much time with Priscilla and Aquila, where they both were tent makers, and Paul connected with them. So Paul actually went and lived in their houses for a year and a half, and Paul actually took them two with them when he started his journey, his third journey. As they got to Ephesus, Paul stayed there for a while, then he left and left Priscilla and Aquila behind. Before we actually go to this, the next verse in this passage, before we talk about the person in this passage, I just want to lay a little groundwork on things that could actually hurt our relationship with Jesus. See, we all have seen friends and family members and co-workers and loved ones who started off doing something wrong and then turned out and started doing it more and more and caused problems. We've seen things in our lives and people's lives around us that affected our life with Jesus, our relationship with Jesus. We've all seen that husband or wife or friends of friends, that maybe the husband or the wife, they spent a little bit too much time at work. Or that Saturday golf date that you have every single Saturday morning starts to become more important than the family time. Or maybe someone who has occasional drink after work, just once in a while, starts to have two or three every night after work. Or maybe that friend or family one stops going to church just a little bit, and then they stop going altogether. Or that coworker that you see made that little friendly bet on a Sunday football game, now is calling his bookie 3 times a week. We've all seen things that brought ourselves and brought our friends and loved ones and co-workers far away from God. We all think about these really big, terrible sins that people do that destroys their relationships with others and with Jesus. The thing I'm going to be talking about today is sometimes doesn't think about as that much of a big deal. And we're going to talk about pride. And we're talking about this, and you might be thinking, Steve's talking about pride, and, you know, pride is not really that big of a sin, not really that big of a deal. I mean, we live in a world now that you need to have self-confidence. We live in a world that teaches us that we have to have self-confidence where we can do all things. We can do stuff, and we need to accomplish stuff with confidence. We live in a world that if you're not confident, if you don't have pride, you don't get along in this world. You don't get through this world. The world tells us that we need to be prideful, that we can accomplish everything through ourselves. Or you might be thinking, pride is not an issue for me. Pride is not one of my sins. It's not something I struggle with. It's not something I, to be honest with you, I have very low self-esteem. I have very low confidence. I have no issue with pride. It's not a temptation with me. It's nothing I have to worry about because, if anything, I have such low confidence. But what is pride? I mean, one of the definitions of pride is just thinking about yourself more than others, praising yourself more than you should be, praising the things that you do so everybody can see it. When we think about pride, we're thinking about ourselves more than we're thinking about God. And when we're trusting in our own self, we are not trusting in God. I'm just going to give you just 3 quick verses in Proverbs. Everybody knows if you want to talk about pride or wisdom, you go to Proverbs. So I'm just going to go through 3 really quick verses real quick here. Proverbs 29, verse 23 says, pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gains honor. And 16:18 says, pride goes before destructions, a haughty spirit before a fall. And Proverbs 16:5 says, the Lord detests all the proud of heart, but be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. See, God looks at pride in a completely different way than the world looks at pride. God looks at it completely different than the world. The world says that you need to be prideful, you need to be boastful, you need to be take whatever you can take and do whatever you can do and be proud of it. You're your own man. You're your own woman. You can do it on your own. The world says that, but God says it completely different. Today we're going to look at a person who handled the situation a little bit different. So let's look at verse 24 of Acts 18. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. And verse 24 just gives us a little bios of who this Apollos is. It says that he was a Jew. He was born in Alexandria. And Alexandria was a port off the Mediterranean Sea in Egypt. And it was a place for learning. It was a place for knowledge. It was one of the largest, at once was one of the largest and most prosperous, is one of those words I can't say. Can't even say a replacement word for it. It was a city that things were growing and happening. It attracted scientists and philosophers and mathematicians and artists and historians. It had some of the biggest libraries in the world. It was a place where you had knowledge and you can gain knowledge. And Apollos grew up in this town. He grew up in that town. And then he headed to Ephesus, where he was a learned man. It says he had the knowledge of the ways of the world, but he also had a good handle on Scriptures. Verse 25, he has been instructed in many ways of the Lord, and he spoke with great favor and taught about Jesus accurately, that he knew only the baptism of John. It says Apollos, He had the knowledge of Scripture. He knew the ways of the Lord, and he talked about Jesus accurately. But Apollos only knew the teaching of John the Baptist. He knew that Jesus was Messiah. He knew that Jesus was coming, but he did not know yet that Jesus was the one who died, who was buried, and he rose again. Apollos had great news, and he gave out that great news. He preached and he preached all over, and he had great news, but he didn't have the complete picture yet. He did not have the complete package. And 2 years ago, there was this officer, this policeman. His name was Jody Thompson. And he was driving, he had his police car, patrol car, and he was bringing his partner back to the police station. He's bringing his partner back to the police station, and he dropped him off, and he was driving either home or someplace, and he's off duty now, and all of a sudden he heard a call on the radio about a child being abused, a family domestic situation. And he had tons of experience in this type of area, so he said, even though I'm off duty, I'm going to go to this call. And he was the first one on the scene. And when we got there, he seen a 8-year-old boy who was deathly underweight. He was actually bound with belts on his wrist. He had bruises and bumps all over his back and his head. And he was submerged inside a garbage can filled with cold water. So obviously he went in there and he helped the boy. He got the boy out of the water. He called the paramedics. They came. He put a blanket on him and they took him to the hospital. And they brought him to the hospital and the boy ended up in intensive care that day. But Officer Thompson, he stayed with that boy all day and all night in intensive care while the parents got arrested and were brought to jail. And if we just left that story the way it is, it's a pretty good story because Officer Thompson saved that boy's life. He is out of that bad situation and he will never get to go back there again. He'll never be in that situation again. Officer Thompson saved that boy's life, and it's a really cool story. And if that's all I knew about this story, and that's all I had to tell you about it, I would be telling you the story very accurately and correctly. I would be telling you everything I didn't know about this story. But there's a second half of this story. That morning, the next morning, Officer Thompson petitioned the courts, and he asked if he could be the foster child, him and his wife, to this boy. And when they arrested that mom and put her in jail, she happened to be pregnant at the time. And she had a little girl inside of jail. And Officer Thompson asked the courts if he could foster that little girl also. And after 2 years of fostering that little boy and that little girl, he was finally awarded full custody of those two kids and became the real parents. He adopted those two kids. And those two kids now have a life of living under a normal and a good, loving family and household. See, not only did he save his life, he continued to minister him and watch over him. And that story was good. It was a great thing what he did. But when you hear the second half of that story, you see the whole story that he was able to not only to save his life, but to raise him. And Apollos knew. He knew that Jesus was coming. He knew he had the great news, but he didn't have the full story. He didn't know what the best was still to come. Verse 26, it says, he began to speak boldly in the synagogues. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the ways of God more accurately. So Apollo was preaching and teaching in the synagogues. He's teaching, and all of a sudden, Priscilla and Aquila come up to him. And if you've been preaching for any amount of time, you can relate to what's happening here right now. If you've ever been preaching, and it's happened to me a couple times, you're preaching, and you get done preaching, you walk to the back of the church, and somebody with a big smile comes on your face, and they come up to you, and they tell you, I really needed to hear that today. I really needed to hear that. That was just... I was struggling, and that passage just talked right to me. And when we hear something like that, it's really, really encouraging, and it's really, really nice, and we love it. When we put the effort into a sermon, and somebody comes up to us and tells us that, you know, it's really nice. But sometimes You see that person coming to you, and you can see the look in their eyes, and it's not a look of friendliness. It's not a look of, oh, he's going to encourage me right now. It's a look like, uh-oh, I said something wrong. I handled the scriptures wrong. He's going to tell me where I made my mistake on my message. And when that happens, you know, the normal thing for me anyways is the hair on my back of my neck stands up a little bit, and I get a little defensive, and I get a little nervous when I see that person coming. And I'm not saying by all means, don't take this the wrong way. If I or anybody else here at Crossroads gives a false statement or says something wrong, we want you to come. So don't take it that I don't want you guys to come and talk to us. Because it's not only you should, it's your duty to talk to us when we make mistakes up here. We are not perfect, and we could handle the scriptures wrong, so we beg you guys to come and talk to us. But sometimes, right after the end of the message, you just get done. I mean, you worked on it all week long, you're exhausted, you're tired, and somebody comes up to you. Maybe it's not the best time to do it right then and there. But here comes Priscilla and Aquila. They're coming up to Apollos, and they're talking to him, and they're right after the message. And I don't know what Apollos might be thinking. He could be thinking this. Here they come. And he might be thinking, do you guys have any idea who I am? Do you know who I am? I've been preaching for years. I've been handling the scriptures for years. The Bible says I have a good handle of the scriptures. Do you know the company who I hang out with? Do you guys have any idea who I hang out with? If we go to 1 Corinthians 1:12, it says, What I mean is this. One of you say, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas, which means Peter. Still another, I follow Christ. The Corinthians are fighting over who is the best teacher. Some of them saying, I think Paul's the best teacher. But others are saying, no, I think Apollos the best teacher. No, Peter's the best teacher. They're fighting over this. And I'm not saying that's what they should be doing. They shouldn't be doing that. But they're putting Apollos in the same category with Paul and Peter. Putting him in the same category. I think he's a better teacher than Paul. Putting him in the same category with Jesus sometimes. I follow Christ, they said. He's linked with some pretty good company. Same category with Peter and Paul and Jesus. They're putting him in the scripture. It's a pretty good category to be with. It gives you somebody, it could really give you something to really, really boast about. Linked to those people who are serving Christ the way he did. So when Priscilla and Aquila came up to him, he could have been thinking, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? But when they went up to him, Priscilla and Aquila invited him to their home. They invited him to the home, and they told him the rest of the story, the gospel of Jesus. They told him about the resurrection, how Jesus came back to life, how he paid for our sins, how Jesus died on that cross to cover our sins. Remember, back then, they didn't have the complete Bible. They didn't have a Bible like we do, this nice, wonderful book. We got 14 copies of it in our house. We have it on our phones, our iPads, on our computers. They didn't have that. There was no internet back then. There was no printers, no phones, no telegraphs. When a new revelation came, it took a while for the whole area to hear it. It wasn't like today. When something happens today, it's on the news, and 95% of America and the world knows about it 10 minutes after it happens. Apollos didn't know what he didn't know. And he could have let his pride get in the way of learning the full truth about the gospel. He could have got his pride get in the way. I can't tell you how many people I've tried to talk to about Jesus and give them the gospel. And you just start the conversation, and you can see the wall go up. You can see the pride and the defenses go up, and they're saying, I don't need to hear this. I got it covered. I don't need to hear your religious garbage. I know what's good for me. You can see the pride that they know exactly where they're going to be and what's going to happen to them, and they don't care. See, when we're very prideful, we are not open to the truth. When we are prideful, we are not seeking God. And when we're prideful, we're only thinking about ourselves. And then we have Priscilla and Aquila, who is no stranger to be linked with somebody important. Remember, Paul lived with them for a year and a half. The church of Corinth actually met in their house. Every single week, they got to hear Paul, the apostle Paul, preaching and teaching the word to the Corinthians. They probably had plenty of time to pick his brain after dinner when everybody is gone. Picked his brain. Can you imagine what it'd be like? Would you imagine right now that Paul living in your house for a year and a half, the questions you would ask, the information we would get if we had Paul sitting in our house for a year and a half? Aquila and Priscilla, they got the benefit to the learning from one of the best out there who ever walked this earth. So when they went up to Apollo, they could have went up to them with this really bold and this I am better than you attitude. I am smarter than you. I know things that you don't know. They could have went up to them and boldly, right then and there, told him all the things that they were missing. They could have been very prideful and went up to that. And if they would have did something like that, I'm sure Apollos would not have accepted that information as well. But no, they were known for their hospitality. They were known for bringing people to their house. And they brought Apollos back to their house where they can have a really nice conversation. And Apollos could actually learn the stuff that he needed to know and hear the rest of the gospel, hear the rest of the story. And if you think about it, you know how tough it must have been for them to approach Apollos? I mean, think about it. Let's say, for example, that Franklin Graham is having one of his crusades in March here in Rochester. And for some reason, he calls up our church and he says, you know what? I want to preach here at Crossroads. Can I preach on March 14th when I'm in town? And we say yes. And he comes here and he preaches and he gives a really great message. And we sit in the back of the church and we think, you know what? I think he messed up this one verse. How hard would it be to walk up to Franklin Graham and say, you know what? I think you messed up that verse. How tough would that be? If it's not for their love for God, their love for their gospel, that they had the willpower and the strength to go and talk to Apollos. The complete gospel was given out after this because of all of their love for God, their love for the truth, and not being prideful and realizing that they didn't have all the answers. Verse 27, when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him. They wrote to the disciples there and welcomed him. When they arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace they believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jewish opponents in public debate, proving the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Apollos kept preaching the gospel, the complete gospel, showing to the Jewish people from scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Apollos loved God, and he was willing to learn the things he did not know, and that's what made him a great servant for God. He never let his pride get in the way of serving God. See, even if we don't think we are a prideful person, we don't think that that's something we struggle with, believe it or not, pride seeps in, even when we don't know it. Even when we don't know it. Say you're working on the job, and you've been doing this job for 5 years, and this new rookie comes in, and he starts working, and he comes up to you, and he thinks he's got a better way to tell you how to do that. You know, it's our pride that says, no, I've been doing this longer than you. I know what's going on. That your way is not a better way. It's our pride that keeps us from listening. I mean, I can actually tell you a story. I've been, at this time, been probably an electrician for like 20 years. And we started taking all six of my kids. They started coming on a job with us when they were 10 years old. And I remember one day Jessie came on the job. She was literally 10 years old. And I've been doing this now for like 20, 25 years. And she came up to me and said, "Dad, why do you do it that way? Why don't you do it this way?" And I looked at Jessie and I said, "You've got to be kidding me. This 10-year-old just told me a better way of doing my job." No exaggeration. And she still doesn't let me forget it, by the way. But we can learn from everybody. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have in that particular subject. How about when we come to church on Sunday morning and we get here and the speaker says, open your Bibles to this particular passage, and you say to yourself, "Oh man, I can't believe we're preaching on this passage here. I know this passage like the back of my hand. I really needed to come to learn something new today. And he's preaching on this passage, and I know it so well. In fact, I know it better than he does." And you be closed-minded, and you don't let the Holy Spirit work through that person speaking, and you don't let the Holy Spirit work through you, so you can hear what God wants you to hear right today. It doesn't matter if that person doesn't know the passage as well as you do. God can work through that. And when we're closed-minded, that pride just seeps right in and doesn't allow us to learn and do the things that God wants us to do. Or maybe you're that person who's not prideful at all. Like I said in the beginning, that person who has very low self-esteem, who's never prideful at all. Well, you think to yourself, and we all think this sometimes, that I have nothing to offer anybody. I'm not an expert in any field. I'm not good at anything. I have nothing to say to anybody. In fact, nobody wants my advice because I have nothing to offer. And maybe that's you. That was me at one time and still can be sometimes. When we think like that, we are being just as prideful because we're thinking about ourselves. We're thinking that we got nothing to offer anybody. We're thinking about we have nothing to offer anybody. And if you think about it, when you think like that, that we have nothing to offer, you're not letting God work through you. You're not letting God let you be a tool that he wants to use. Because when we think we're not worth anything, such the wrong way of thinking, because God loves us. And the value he puts on us. When we think about when somebody said to you, what's your car worth? Your car is only worth as much as somebody's willing to pay for it. Your car is only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. And we're only worth as much as God is willing to send his son for. And you think about how much that is worth. The God of the universe sending his son for us. So when we think we're not worth anything, we're worth a ton in God's eyes. And don't ever, ever think that you can't help somebody along who might be smarter and more talented than you in your mind, because we have a lot to say. We have a lot to do. So when we don't do it, we're being just as prideful in a completely different way. In both cases, we're thinking about ourselves rather than thinking about God and others. Pride is a dangerous sin. And sometimes we don't put it in the same category with some of the other major sins that we all know about, but God does. God does. Pride keeps us from trusting in God. Pride keeps us from learning, and pride keeps us from growing. And remember what happened to Satan? What got him thrown out, and his third of his angels get thrown out? It was nothing but pride, and God hates pride. If we really, really, really dissect and we really think about it, what do we really have to be prideful for? What do we really have to be boastful about? We were born on this earth. We're on this earth for 10, 40, 50, 100 years. And then we spend eternity in one or two places, heaven or hell. And if we haven't accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, yet, whether we want to believe it or not, we're on a path straight to destruction, a path straight to hell. And the Bible says we can do nothing on our own. We can do nothing on our own. Even Jesus said himself that I can do nothing without the Father. What can we really do? What can we really do? We're on a path to destruction until we finally accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So what do we really have to be prideful for? boastful for? I mean, when we compare ourselves to Jesus and we look at that comparison, what do we really have to be prideful for? So all we have is somebody that we can be used by God to do God's work and to help some people out and to help our families out and to do things that God asks us to do, to be a tool for God. And when we do that, even the Apostle Paul says, that's what I got to boast about. When God works through me, I got nothing to boast about myself. But when I look at myself through God, that's the only thing to boast about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your love. We thank you for this passage, Lord. We thank you for all the different examples of the people in the Bible, Lord. We thank you that they were just normal people like you and I, Lord. People who just wanted to serve you. And the great things that they did was not because of themselves, because they said yes to you and no to sin, Lord. Lord, I ask you to help us all, that even though we don't think we're prideful, Lord, there's many, many times that we are very prideful and boastful, Lord. So I pray you just help us to work on that, Lord. I pray that you would help us to focus on you and focus on others way more than we focus on ourselves. And we thank you so much for you dying on that cross and giving us all the capability to do that. In Jesus' name.